monkeys. Everybody likes a monkey story. A group of scientists place five monkeys in a cage, and in the middle of the cage, they place a ladder with some bananas on top of it. Every time a monkey went up the ladder to get the bananas, the scientists would soak the rest of the monkeys with cold water. Not the one on the ladder, but the rest of them soaked with cold water. So every time a monkey saw those bananas, man, I really want one of those bananas. He started to go up the ladder. The scientists would soak the other monkeys with cold water. Now, let me say before I go further, I'm not advocating any kind of soaking animals with water or cruelty to animals or any kind of things, but this is a true story, and I think a point we can get from this. After a while, every time a monkey went up the ladder, since the other monkeys didn't want to get soaked with water, they would beat up the monkey that was trying to go up the ladder to get the banana. Every time. Makes sense. After some time, no monkey dared to go up the ladder regardless of the temptation. They did not want to get beaten. They did not go up the ladder. Well, let's see. There we go. Scientists then decide to substitute one of the monkeys. The first thing this new monkey did was to go up the ladder. He wanted the banana. But immediately, all the other monkeys beat him up. So after several beatings, the new member, the new monkey, learned not to climb the ladder. Even though he really wasn't sure why. He had never been sprayed with water. He hadn't seen any other monkeys spray with water. But he knew not to go near that ladder or he'd get beaten up. So, after a second monkey was substituted, a second monkey was substituted, and the same thing occurred. But guess what? The first monkey participated in the beating for the second monkey. And then a third monkey was changed, and the same was repeated. The fourth monkey was substituted, and the beating was repeated. And finally, the fifth monkey was replaced. So what was left was a group of five monkeys that even though none of them had ever received a cold shower, they continued to beat up any monkey who attempted to climb the ladder. Imagine that. So, just think for a minute, if it was possible to ask the monkeys why they would beat up all those who attempted to go up the ladder, I bet you the answer would be, I don't know. That's just how things are done around here. Does that sound familiar? Many times in our jobs, in our homes, in our lives, we may have traditions of doing things without really being sure of why we do them. It's just that we do them because that's how things are done. Many times those traditions may be harmless, and they might even be good or helpful. What Mark pointed out so ably last week was that we cannot make religious traditions binding as God's law. We want to speak where the Bible speaks, and we want to be silent where the Bible is silent. Last week we looked at what does the Bible say regarding the times of assembly. This week we want to look at why do we assemble? What is the purpose of assembling? And what we're going to do this morning is take a look at this topic of why we assemble. We're going to look at some options of times of assembling, and then we're going to ask for your feedback this morning during this time regarding those options. And then when we get through with that, Alan will come up and share some additional thoughts with us this morning. So first of all, let's look at Why do we assemble? Why do we as a church assemble, and what is the importance of that assembly? First, the initial purpose for assembling is to worship the Father. As the scripture was read for us, the Father is looking for us to worship Him. Now, can we worship the Father without assembling? Yes, we could do some of the acts of worship on our own and worship the Father on our own. However, the Bible clearly indicates that there are times when we are to gather together to worship collectively, corporately, to assemble together. And God is looking for us to worship. He wants those who want to worship Him. He is looking for those to worship Him. When we assemble, When we assemble, there are several what we call acts of worship, several things that we do. Some of these things we might could do on our own. However, the Bible clearly teaches in several passages that there are things that we do collectively. And one of those is what we just got through doing and partaking of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 26, it's a passage that we read many times around the gathering of the Lord's Supper, but it takes us through the steps that the early church did in partaking of the Lord's Supper in a similar way that Jesus did with his disciples. Another thing that we do when we're gathered together is to listen to teaching or preaching. I wanted to point out a specific passage in Acts chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. Mark alluded to this passage a little bit in his lesson last week. But notice these verses. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There are many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered. Now, a few things that this passage points out to us. First of all, it shows what one of the things they were gathered together to do, and that was to break bread. During that time, Paul spoke. He teached or preached, however you want to describe it. And he was intending to depart the next day. It was on the first day of the week that they met. And it indicates, suggests there, that they did that every first day of the week. And there's other passages that indicate that as well. However, did Paul start at 10 o'clock, the traditional time to start service, and he preached till midnight? Bible doesn't indicate that. Matter of fact, there's indication that that's not what occurred. Why do we know that? Well, it says that there are many lamps in the upper room where they're gathered. Now, the upper room, we're told a few verses later that this was actually on the third story. It was probably a larger place that they could gather. And it was probably a traditional place for them to gather, a regular place for this group of Christians to gather. But why were there many lamps? Was it because they brought them at 10 o'clock when they started? No, it probably was indication that it was dark when they assembled. In the early church, there were times when it was, like Mark pointed out last week, when it was a regular work day, or some of them might have been slaves, and they might have been assembling after dark, after the day's work. It also, there were times that it was indicated that they assembled secretly out of fear for the government and persecution. And so it would make sense to assemble after dark in those times. And therefore, it continued his speech toward midnight. But it makes sense why a young man might fall out of the window and go to sleep, because it was after a day's work. And he was sitting there by the window and that sort of thing. So this passage does indicate to us that there was teaching or preaching during that time. Also, we see different passages that where the Christians gathered together and they prayed while they got together. And sometimes when they assembled, it was for specific purposes to pray. This passage in Acts chapter 12 indicates to us that this group of Christians had gathered together to pray on behalf of Peter. Peter had been arrested and placed into jail, and they had gathered together for that. And so Peter was kept in the prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. So that congregation had gathered together for those things. And apparently, when they started at night, it went an extended period of time. Later on in those verses, we see where Peter was asleep, but an angel woke him and got him out of the prison. Once he realized, hey, that was not a dream, in verse 12 we're told, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Also, the scriptures indicate to us that there were collections when the early church assembled. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, a familiar passage for us, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And another act of worship that were indicated is the singing. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, one of those, and we're going to look a little bit more at the words of this in just a moment. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, could we sing? Could we pray on our own individually? Yes. But could we sing and teach and admonish one another on our own? No, we could sing praises to God on our own. But one of the purposes of assembling together is to sing and teach and admonish and encourage one another when we gather together. And one of the ways that we encourage one another is by our singing. So one of the reasons why we assemble is to worship the Father. Another reason why we assemble together as a church family is to encourage and build up each other. And this is very important. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, a verse that is used many times to say why we need to assemble and not to forsake the assembling. But notice what it indicates as one of the reasons why we need to assemble together. And not that worship is not important. We've covered that is very important. It's one of the purposes of assembling. But this indicates a second reason why we assemble, and it also is very important. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So another important reason why we assemble together is to encourage and build up each other. Let's look at another passage. Going too fast here. Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles and can turn to that, Ephesians 4, let's pick up at verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So one of the key reasons why we assemble is to encourage and build up each other. And brothers and sisters, if we gather together and all we focus on is our acts of worship, and we walk in and we clock in and we say, "Mark me down, I'm here," and we participate in the acts of worship and we focus that worship on God, which is what we're supposed to do, and we leave and we walk out the doors and that's it, that's not enough. We have not accomplished one of the purposes for assembly, and that is to encourage and build each other up. And sometimes if we're not careful, we get so ingrained in the routines of the acts of worship that we don't provide time or don't take the time, or we have not set up an environment to where we can encourage and build each other up. And none of us are perfect. And we have times where we're broken and hurting. And I know that there are times when you walk in here, and if you walk in and you need that encouragement and you need that building up and you leave and that didn't occur, you feel empty. And you feel like, yes, I worship God, but something was missing. And so it's important for us to realize that another purpose for assembling is to encourage and build each other up. And that's a two-way street. It takes both parties, if you will, to work toward that. It takes reaching out to each other for that to occur. And a third reason for assembling together is to bring others to Christ, to bring those that are seeking the opportunity to learn more about Christ, to reach out to the unchurched and those that are not saved, to bring them to Christ. And it, just like we mentioned the other two purposes of worship, of assembling, if we do not do this third, then we're not accomplishing part of the one of the purposes of assembling. 1 Peter 2:9, it shows that we're to proclaim him. And notice the reason why we are Christians. But you are chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people. Why? Why do we assemble? Is it only to worship him? Why does Christ assemble us? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so one of the purposes of assembling is to proclaim him. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, familiar passage, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And Hunter pointed out in his lesson last Sunday night, John 1:39, where we are to invite those to come, and you will see. And so all of us can participate in inviting to come and see. Once again, if all we do is we assemble to worship, and we assemble for ourselves, and let's say we gather together and it's a great time of encouraging and building one another up, and we've worshiped God in the acts of worship, and that's it, then we've fallen short of one of the purposes of assembling. And the church is to not get so focused on ourselves that we do not create an environment that is welcoming to the unchurched, welcoming to the visitors, encouraging to the visitors where they want to come back, where it's a situation where it's comfortable and easy for them when we invite them to come. It's at a time that is convenient for them to come. And so these three purposes of worship, I hope, have been helpful for us to look at this morning. So as we consider the times for the assembly, as we ask for your feedback here in a little bit, what we want to look at is not just personal preference here. What we want to look at is what times, what organization of the assembly helps us accomplish these three purposes. What helps us worship better? What environment helps us to encourage and build each other up? What times for assembling helps us and makes it easier for us to invite more and bring others to Christ? So what we want to do is take a look at some different options for assembling. Before we do that, let's pause for just a minute to go to our Father in prayer. Dear Father, we just ask your blessings on us at this time as we consider these options, that you'll help us as we consider these options to help the congregation here at Regency, help us to consider what will help us worship you in a more effective way. Help us to see what will encourage and build up each other and to invite others to come to the services. Dear Father, I ask that as we look at these options, we know that different people will have different preferences, but I pray that this time of feedback will be one that will provide clarity to our leadership so that we know the best way to go. And it's through your Son's name that we pray. Amen. So let's look at some different options. First of all, one option is to do what we've been doing, and that is to have morning Bible class at 9, worship at 10, and second worship service at 6. Two worship times, as Mark pointed out last week, originally was there to help so many in shift work come to either service. Now, in modern times, the two times does help those that are traveling and also those that perhaps may be also or still on shift work. Well, I may need your help getting it back. I hit the wrong button, I know. There we go. Second option that we can look at is a morning Bible class at 9, worship at 10, and then come back for a Bible class instead of a specific worship service at 6 o'clock. This provides an opportunity for those that did come into the morning to engage in a single, large group Bible study without feeling that they are duplicating what was already done in the morning. We have tried this on different occasions, and we have done this on different occasions. Most recently, we did this during the marriage seminar, where instead of a dedicated worship time, we had a class during that second time together. Another option is to have morning Bible class at 9, worship at 10, a lunch together, and then either an early afternoon service or single Bible class. There are a couple congregations in this area that do this every week. And this option places everything that is currently going on now at one continuous time and adds a fellowship time to eat together. This does benefit those that have to drive a little further to get here, or those who can't drive as easily to get here. There are some who have to get a ride to get here, and so that helps those. It also benefits those who can't drive as easily in the evenings, or those who prefer to not be out after dark for safety reasons. And so there are some that do that. We're going to look through several options, but what I'd like for you to start doing, we are going to, I'm going to ask you in a little bit to rank those in order of preference from 1 to 4. So as we go through these different options, be thinking about, okay, I prefer that over this. And so we're going to be asking for you to just provide your feedback on the preferences that you prefer. Another option is to have morning Bible class from 9 to 9:45, and then extended fellowship time. Right now what we currently do is give us just enough time to get from our Bible class up here. This would provide a little bit of more fellowship time where we can encourage and build up each other. And then an extended worship time with no evening service. This option does put the emphasis on when we have the most members and the most visitors present. This option allows for more time to do the acts of worship without rushing. As elders have looked back over the last 10 years of attendance, these two times of the day or of the week are the best attended out of all the options that we currently do. And that's the morning Bible class and the morning worship. So one logic is to take advantage of when the most people are here and make that as good as it can be and make the most out of that time together. This option also allows time in the afternoon for family or church family activities where we can get to know one another better. One congregation around here that has done this has divided the congregation into different age groups that get together at least two times a month for different activities where they can build those relationships with each other and find ways to get visitors plugged in more quickly. So that's another option. Another option would be to have morning Bible class, fellowship time, extended a fellowship time, a worship time, and then a Bible class in the evening. Some of the congregations that do this move the Bible class from the morning, move it to the evenings. And this option provides no duplication or repetition in the two assemblies. It does move the Bible class from morning to more of a Wednesday night feel, while still providing for more extended time in the morning when the highest attendance is there for worship. This also might benefit those that can't sit a long time for extended time in services because of health reasons, or those that have kids that struggle with that same thing. Whoops. Let me go back. Another option is Bible class at 9, worship at 10. Multiple mixed Bible classes studying the same topic at Regency at 6 o'clock. This option, again, provides concentration of the whole church assembling when we have the largest number of members and visitors attending. However, the gathering in the evening would be to provide a smaller Bible class environment around the building where we could all meet in mixed age groups to discuss and develop the lesson from the morning. The second assembly would emphasize the last two purposes of our gathering. It would emphasize the encouraging and building up each other more. It would also provide a little bit easier opportunity to invite others. But the purpose of this would be to provide a smaller Bible class setting where more discussion could take place in developing the lesson that was discussed that morning, to put a more practical approach on the lesson and how could we implement that lesson throughout the week. It also provide time for those Bible classes to provide some accountability to each other, to know when someone's missing, to know when somebody's hurting, and provide a smaller opportunity to encourage one another in that. But again, everyone would be studying the same thing on that time. Another option would be to have Bible class at 9, worship at 10, multiple mixed Bible classes studying the same topic at Regency or periodically in homes at 6 o'clock. This option provides the same opportunities as the previous one, but this different setting can further emphasize on bringing the lost to Christ. Sometimes it's much easier to invite to a home rather than a large group assembly. So I'm going to ask our young men to pass out these surveys. And we're going to ask that you take some time to take a look at these surveys right now and to rank these. Now, another option that we list on here is a mixture of the above to do different times during maybe different weeks, maybe specified weeks, or different times, different options of this during certain times of the year. Maybe one time of the year is a better time for one of these options, and another time of the year may be a better time for a different option. We also, on the surveys, ask, there's a section down here for other with a blank. If there's an option that was not mentioned here that you do prefer, we also ask that you write that down. And again, we're going to ask that you rank these in order of preference, with one being your first preference, the option that you first prefer, and two through four being your next preferred options. Now, I also want to draw your attention to the bottom part of the survey. And these are anonymous unless you just want to put your name down. If you want us to know, hey, it was you that said this, and we want to make sure your voice is heard, you're welcome to do that. Or if you want to take the back and write down more, that's fine. But I do ask that anonymously here, you look at the bottom questions, and I don't have these up on the screen. But I'd like to ask, we'd like to know, what is your current attendance habits on Sunday night? We're not trying to put guilt on you, or we want honest feedback here. Do you attend most every Sunday night? Do you rarely attend Sunday nights, or you're never able to attend on Sunday nights? The second question is, for those that rarely or never attend on Sunday nights, if one of these other options were chosen, would it change your habits on that Sunday night? Do you see yourself attending more, or no matter what option is chosen, you don't see you attending on Sunday nights? And then we're also asking, if you're one of those who currently attend on most Sunday nights, we'd like your feedback as well. Some people would answer the first, no matter what option, I'm always going to attend when the congregation meets. But we also are curious, if a different option is chosen, would you see yourself attending more, or would you see yourself attending less on that? These answers will really help our leadership. It won't be easy for us to dissect these, but it will help our leadership get good feedback from you. We want that feedback. No decision has been made. There's not, the elders aren't pushing one of these options. The elders are in agreement that we feel that these are viable options for this congregation. But we want the membership to provide that feedback to us as to your preferences, what would work best for you. So again, I ask that you rank these. I'll be quiet for a minute or two. And then once you have filled out this, if you will just simply fold it and pass it back to the end of the aisle where you received the surveys, our young men will come back by and pick those up. In just a moment, Alan will come up and close out our thoughts.
We'll pass those today.